Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. For today's show, we're going to minimize my commentary so we have more time to focus on our video and audio files. Today will mark the beginning of a transition period where I intend to shift, at least part of the time, our shows from exclusively audio live broadcasts and recorded podcasts to a mix of audio and video presentations. And these may eventually lead to us doing exclusively video presentations for our shows. We have two video files to play on our show today. If you don't have the means to watch these video presentations, you can still listen to their audio and get the gist of what is being discussed. If you have the capability of viewing the video parts, also you will see specific graphics that provide clear examples of the materials being discussed and points made. So let's get started. We're focusing today on some key issues of current affairs in this critical election year that will largely determine the fate of our nation for many years to come. One is the sham indictments and other attempts to utterly destroy Donald Trump politically and individually, imprison him, and prevent him from ever being able to run or hold public office again. And all of these attempts, as Donald Trump has said and other people have observed, is being led by the White House and the deep state establishment. And really, these charges are bogus, and Trump has done nothing that I can see. I'm no lawyer, but done nothing wrong. But anyway, we know he's made those protestations. We'll have to see where everything goes. That's how terrified the communists and their sympathizers substantially controlling our government are of Donald Trump, along with their allies in China, Iran, Russia, and North Korea. You may not think that's so. Why? No, we're standing up to them. Look, President Biden called Xi Jinping a dictator. Yes. Well, if you notice all the things that President Biden has done for Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party, and the fact that they have lined his and his family's pockets with tens of millions of dollars, which is undisputed, you would more likely see my point of view. And of course, the Chinese have a saying, as has been pointed out by Peter Schweitzer in his book, Red Handed. It's called Much Help and a Little Bad Mouth. Anyway, that's right. Joe Biden, who does all he can to help communist China and his close ally Iran, they just gave him another $10 billion, freed up $10 billion in their assets, when it's well known that they're financing Hamas. But China wants that, so Joe Biden does everything he can to help them, and Joe Biden and his handlers. And they are promoting the Marxist revolution being thrust upon us here in the USA, while at the same time Joe Biden is claiming that he's defending our democracy. Joe Biden, who has been endorsed by Russia's Vladimir Putin and China's Xi Jinping, as preferred by them over Donald Trump. Another issue is what millions of Americans see as our nation's horribly corrupt and rigged elections, which have led to these people gaining control of the government, or substantially so. Another issue is the staggering and illegal invasion of the USA by millions of completely unvetted illegal migrants, as they're called, from all over the world. This seeming madness is being illegally encouraged and facilitated with billions of your taxpayer dollars by the same, as many of us see it, communist-oriented and criminals largely in charge of our government and controlling our president, Joe Biden. What else do you call people who willfully refuse to follow the laws of the nation and are allowing this terrible travesty to take place at our borders? But the apparent madness of these hordes of millions of illegals pouring across our borders is, in fact, again, as many of us see it, all by plan and design. The purpose of it is to totally destroy the USA as we have known it by bringing the nation to its knees, being overrun by millions and soon to be tens of billions of illegal aliens, including many violent criminals committing murders, rapes, armed robberies, and other crimes across the country, not to mention hundreds on our terrorist watch list. But what concern of this is to Biden and the others hell-bent to transmogrify America into a socialist hellhole unrecognizable to those who have been living here? In short, the mass illegal flood tide at our borders is key to a complete communist takeover of the USA. This is the true purpose, as I would say many others, this is the true purpose of the USA invasion being encouraged and facilitated by Joe Biden, his handlers, and supporters. Now, again, as I've said on every show, and I want to continue saying, I am not under any circumstances advocating any kind of illegality or violence by anyone in opposition to this. That's what they want you to do, something stupid and which does no real good. But if nothing substantial and legally is done to stop this madness, these hordes of illegals will, again, as I say, by design, soon be marching through the streets all of us live on and demanding a share of our money and property. If you have property, if you don't have property, they're still going to demand what you have. You will see them kicking down your door. I don't think that's too shocking a thing to say or to conceive of. Where are they going to live as tens of millions pour into this country? I mean, it's just, they say at least 7 million have got that they know of. It's been estimated as many as 10 million since Joe Biden was installed in the White House. And I say, it's not inconceivable that within a very short time, you will see these people. We're already beginning to see them all over the place. And you will see them eventually demanding your home as a place for them to live. And you may also see your benevolent government demanding that you turn over all of your assets to be redistributed to these newcomers, as the White House now refers to them, as it sees fit. Why would all this be promoted by leftists? Well, it's actually part of the communists' longstanding longing for what's called global equity. In other words, the global redistribution of wealth from the supposed undeserving upper and middle classes of the bourgeoisie countries to the world's poor, but not the wealth of the government and societal elites overseeing this global redistribution. Amazingly, they actually believe that they should and will possess wealth and power as the nation's ruling communist elites. It's like was stated in George Orwell's novel Animal Farm about a communist takeover. The rulers post a sign stating, "Everyone is equal under socialism, but some are more equal than others." And thus, it's always been that ruling elites of totalitarian governments are rich and powerful, at least until some of them are arrested and murdered by opposing members of factions within these elites. What's happening in America today is what has happened, or largely what has happened, with other communist revolutions around the world. As Xi Van Fleet, a survivor of communist China's Cultural Revolution, warns in her new book. Van Fleet says she clearly recognized the USA is being subjected to a communist revolution. She's been doing interviews on the internet and was recently interviewed by Tucker Carlson for his show on X. The name of her book is Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning. By some electoral miracle, enough real Republicans were elected to Congress in 2022 to just barely gain control of the U.S. House of Representatives. They have initiated an impeachment inquiry, as you probably know, into the evidence of longstanding corruption by Joe Biden, despite his supporters doing all they can to supposedly refute and debunk evidence being presented against Biden. In a compelling response to Joe Biden's and his handler's specious arguments, as I see it, against the other actual impeachment recently voted by Republicans. Now, remember, we have an impeachment inquiry into Biden at this point, but the House did actually vote to actually impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas for his disastrous but intentional and illegal encouragement of and facilitating the U.S. illegal alien invasion. Here's legal analysis by conservative commentator Mark Levin on a recent edition of his Life, Liberty, and Levin TV show on Fox. Besides having a brilliant legal mind, Levin is eminently qualified to make such an argument for impeachment of not only Mayorkas, but also Joe Biden, for their illegal and intentional acts promoting this massive, unprecedented invasion. And again, you have to remember how the communists and their sympathizers and supporters operate. Just about everything they tell you is a lie and a trick. For example, Joe Biden kept saying that there was no invasion and that our border was secure. Lately, he stated that if the border is not secure, it's Donald Trump's fault, the MAGA Republicans. Don't be fooled. Yes, Joe Biden has serious cognitive issues, but he knows exactly what he's doing, despite his lies and denials to the contrary, as propaganda for the populace. Mark Levin is host of the syndicated radio program The Mark Levin Show, as well as Life, Liberty, and Levin on Fox News. Levin worked in the administration of President Ronald Reagan and was chief of staff for then U.S. Attorney General Edwin Meese. He is the former president of the Landmark Legal Foundation and a New York Times bestselling author of numerous books. Play video clip one, please.
Hello, America. I'm Mark Levin, and this is Life, Liberty, and Levin Sunday. You know, we hear a lot about the law, the Constitution. Most of it is superficial. Most of the information you get about it from the media, especially news platforms, is false. Some of it outright lies, much of it influenced by the Democrat Party and the Democrats within the media and so forth. One of the issues that's been front and center is impeachment. Impeachment of Mayorkas, the Secretary of DHS, a cabinet officer. And what you're hearing, the mantra is you don't impeach somebody based on policy differences, and you don't impeach somebody and open the door wide so that they can then return and impeach you. Of course, we get this mostly from people who brought two outrageous impeachments against Donald Trump that do not stand on the Constitution. So let's dig into this briefly. You'll be more knowledgeable than any legal analyst, any former federal prosecutor, any former federal judge, or anybody else on TV and radio. And I'll tell you why. The greatest book ever written by impeachment was written in 1973 by Raoul Berger. He's deceased, but the former professor at Harvard Law School. And he was acknowledged as such, probably the greatest constitutional scholar of modern times. And he wrote a book, Impeachment, the Constitutional Problems, as I say, 1973. Stick with me. I just want to give you the basis for this. What exactly is a high crime? You've heard people say impeachment is whatever Congress says it is. No, it's not. It is a constitutional process. Congress has limitations, too, but it also has obligations. Well, what do we mean by misdemeanors, actual crimes? No, high crimes and misdemeanors never meant actual crimes. Listen to this. High crimes and misdemeanors are a category of political crimes against the state. What's a political crime? It's not a criminal code crime against the state. What they meant by that is an attack on the society, on the civil society, on the culture, on the governing system, and so forth. Not policy disagreements, not even strong policy disagreements. You take an oath to uphold the Constitution. If you're not upholding the Constitution, if you're rogue and you're violating federal law, that is a political crime against the body politic. That's what they mean by that. Whereas misdemeanors per se describe criminal sanctions for private wrongdoings. He goes on. He says, high crimes and misdemeanors appear to be words of art confined to impeachments without roots in the ordinary criminal law and which, so far as I can discover, he said, had no relation to whether an indictment would lie in the particular circumstances. What the framers of your Constitution did is they spent an enormous amount of time debating impeachment. The first issue they debated the most was this creation of an executive, a presidency, what it would look like, and so forth. And so the second biggest issue was impeachment. They looked at English common law. They went back all the way to the 1300s. They looked at how Parliament handled, quote unquote, impeachment vis-a-vis the king. And they looked at as much historical information as they could in order to come up with the language. They rejected maladministration because they thought, well, if we say maladministration is a basis for impeachment, then Congress will always be able to blackmail a president. So it's not what Congress says it is. It's what the framers of the Constitution meant it to be. What is the language in the Constitution? Article 2, Section 4. The president, vice president, and all civil officers, that would be cabinet secretaries, of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. The path by which the framers arrived at this language is traceable in the records of the Constitutional Convention itself through Madison's notes. So we know where this comes from. Some uneasiness apparently was excited by the breadth of the power of impeachment, for there were repeated assurances that impeachment was meant only for, quote, great injuries, quote, great misdemeanors. James Irida, later on the Supreme Court himself, told the North Carolina Convention that the occasion for its exercise, that is impeachment, will arise from acts of great injury to the community, to the nation. Impeachment, said Governor Johnston in that convention, quote, is a mode of trial pointed out for great misdemeanors against the public, great offenses against society. From James Wilson, Wilson was a great delegate from Pennsylvania. His expression of hope in the Pennsylvania convention that impeachments, quote, will seldom happen. It is inferable that he, too, was concerned only with serious misconduct. So the question is whether the impeachment of Mayorkas was policy, maladministration, and therefore illegitimate, as the Democrats and the media and three Republicans keep telling you, or whether it was legitimate. So let's actually look at the articles of impeachment, which I don't think any news platform has done, and actually read from some of this. Is it policy? Is it politics? Is it opinion? Or is it clear violations, intentional, repeated violations of law, pattern of lies to the other branch of government, Congress, and to the American people? Number one, Alejandro Mayorkas willfully refused to comply with the detention mandate set forth in Section 235B2A of the Immigration and Nationality Act, requiring that all applicants for admission who are not clearly and beyond a doubt entitled to be admitted shall be detained for a removal proceeding. Instead of complying with this requirement, Mayorkas implemented a catch-and-release scheme whereby such aliens are unlawfully released, even without effective mechanisms to ensure appearances before the immigration courts for removal proceedings or to ensure removal in the case of aliens ordered removed. Number two, Mayorkas willfully refused to comply with the detention mandate set forth in another section of federal law, 235B1B2, of such act, requiring that an alien who is placed into expedited removal proceedings and determined to have a credible fear of prosecution, quote, shall be detained for further consideration of the application for asylum. Instead of complying with this requirement, Mayorkas implemented a catch-and-release scheme where such aliens are unlawfully released, even without effective mechanisms, to ensure appearances before the immigration courts for removal proceedings or to ensure removal in the case of aliens ordered removed. Two violations of the federal immigration law. Clear as day. But there's more. Three, Mayorkas willfully refused to comply with the detention set forth in Section 235B1B3-4 of the Act, requiring that an alien who is placed into expedited removal proceedings and determined not to have a credible fear of persecution, quote, shall be detained until removed, unquote. Instead of complying with this requirement, Mayorkas has implemented a catch-and-release scheme whereby such aliens are unlawfully released, even without effective mechanisms to assure appearances before the immigration courts for removal proceedings or to ensure removal in case of aliens ordered removed. That's why people say follow the existing federal immigration laws. We don't need any more laws. The laws are extensive. They are precise. They require people to be held. They require people to be deported. It gives them certain due process rights under administrative law judges. All of that's been bulldozed by Mayorkas and Biden. Four, Mayorkas willfully refused to comply with the detention mandate set forth in Section 236C of the Act, requiring that a criminal alien who is inadmissible or deportable on certain criminal and terrorism-related grounds, quote, shall be taken into custody when the alien is released from law enforcement custody. Instead of complying with this requirement, Mayorkas issued, quote, guidelines for the enforcement of civil immigration laws, which instructs Department of Homeland Security, DHS officials, that, quote, the fact an individual is removable non-citizen should not alone be the basis of an enforcement action against them, and that DHS personnel should not rely on the fact of conviction alone,
even to respect the alien subject to mandatory arrest and detention pursuant to the law. So he supersedes the law with a memo. Number five, Mayorkas willfully refused to comply with the detention mandate set forth in Section 24182, the Immigration Act, requiring that an alien ordered removed, quote, shall be detained during the removal period. Instead of complying with this mandate, Mayorkas issued, again, his own memo, Guidelines for the Enforcement of Civil Immigration Laws, which instructs DHS officials that the fact an individual is a removable non-citizen should not alone be the basis of an enforcement action against them. Wow. Personnel should not rely on the fact of conviction alone. So personnel must not rely on the specifics of federal law. Instead, Mayorkas writes his own law. Number six, Mayorkas willfully exceeded his parole authority set forth in Section 212D5A of federal law that permits parole to be granted only on a case-by-case basis, temporarily, and for urgent humanitarian reasons or a significant public benefit. Now, how did he violate that? A, he paroled aliens en masse in order to release them from mandatory detention, despite the fact that a United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit concluded in 2021, quote, paroling every alien DHS cannot detain is the opposite of the case-by-case basis determinations required by federal law. B, Mayorkas created, reopened, or expanded a series of categorical parole programs never authorized by Congress for foreign nationals outside the United States. He wrote his own laws, including for certain Central American minors, Ukrainians, Venezuelans, Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, Colombians, Salvadorans, Guatemalans, and Hondurans, which enabled hundreds of thousands of inadmissible aliens to enter the United States in violation of the laws enacted by Congress under the Immigration and Naturalization Act. Number seven, Mayorkas willfully exceeded his release authority set forth in Section 236A of the law that permits in certain circumstances the release of aliens arrested on an administrative warrant, in that Mayorkas released aliens arrested without warrant despite they're subject to a separate applicable mandatory detention requirement set forth in federal law. Now, what are the consequences to the country? The case that he has committed a high crime is beyond dispute. These aren't policy arguments. I spend more time on this program unraveling the lies in the media, the lies by the Democrat Party, and quite frankly, the lies by the rhinos led by Mitch McConnell than I do anything else. Because I have to be a counterweight to all the propaganda that's being pushed out there. The consequences have been devastating as a result of his committing high crimes and misdemeanors, high crimes specifically. That is, crimes, political crimes against the body politic. During fiscal years 2017 through 2020, an average of about 590,000 aliens each fiscal year were encountered as inadmissible aliens at ports of entry on the southwest border or apprehended between ports of entry. Thereafter, Mayorkas' tenure in office, that number skyrocketed from 590,000 to 1,400,000 in 2021, over 2.3 million in fiscal year 2022, over 2.4 million in fiscal year 2023. Similarly, during fiscal years 2017 through 2020, an average of 130,000 persons who were not turned back or apprehended after making an illegal entry were observed along the border each fiscal year. During Mayorkas' time in office, the number more than trebled to 400,000 in fiscal 2021, 600,000 in fiscal 2022, and 750,000 in fiscal 2023. During Mayorkas' tenure as Secretary of Homeland Security, the immigration court backlog has more than doubled from about 1.3 million cases to over 3 million cases. The exploding backlog is destroying the court's ability to administer justice and provide appropriate relief in a time frame that does not run into years or even decades. During Mayorkas' tenure as Secretary of Homeland Security, approximately 450,000 unaccompanied alien children, minors, have been encountered at the southwest border, and the vast majority have been released into the United States. As a result, there's been a dramatic upsurge in migrant children being employed in dangerous and exploitive jobs in the United States. Sex slavery, pornography, same with young girls, same with women, same with some men. What's going on the border is inhumane, it's anarchy, it's chaos. It's slavery, sex slavery, other forms of slavery. Drug cartels are making tens of billions of dollars. Now we have a problem with communist Chinese nationals pouring into the country. We have no idea who they are. They're not properly vetted. We don't have the personnel. The personnel that they wanted to hire under the phony bipartisan act would be basically rubber stamping entry, rubber stamping parole, rubber stamping the illegality that Mayorkas and Biden have already set into motion. Mayorkas' failure to enforce the law drawing millions of illegal aliens to the southwest border has led to the reassignment of U.S. Border Patrol agents from protecting the border from illicit drug trafficking to processing illegal aliens for release. Mayorkas has degraded public safety by leaving wide swaths of the border effectively unpatrolled, as U.S. border agents are diverted from guarding the border to processing for unlawful release the heightening wave of apprehended aliens. During Mayorkas' tenure, the U.S. Border Patrol has encountered an increasing number of aliens on the terrorist watch list. In fiscal years 2017 through 2020, combined, 11 non-citizens on the terrorist watch list were caught attempting to cross the southwest border between ports of entry. 11 in a three-year period. That number increased to 15 in fiscal 2021, 98 in fiscal 2022, 169 in fiscal 2023, and only part of this year, already 49. And keep in mind, we don't catch them all. There are hundreds of millions of people coming into this country called gotaways. We don't know a damn thing about them. And the ones we catch, we almost don't know a damn thing about them. Those cops, the NYPD in New York, who were assaulted, who were beaten by illegal aliens. Most of those illegal aliens who attacked them were part of a vicious Venezuela gang, now an international gang. We now have in our country this vicious Venezuela international gang teaming up with MS-13. We didn't have this 3 years ago. All kinds of consequences, economic, criminal, so forth. Our sovereignty is being destroyed. And of course, our enemy is going to try and push as many of their spies into our country as possible. Now, don't tell me these aren't impeachable offenses, that these are policy differences, or that we're opening Pandora's box to future impeachments. We're opening Pandora's box to future impeachment for those who deserve it. I just read to you, and I could have read more, of the articles of impeachment citing specific sections of a federal law that's been in place for decades, the Immigration and Naturalization Act, duly passed by Congresses, duly signed by presidents with amendments and so forth. And so Joe Biden and Mayorkas have decided they're going to change our federal immigration law, whether we like it or not, whether Congress likes it or not, and you're not going to have a damn thing to say about it. And so he issues 94 executive orders in his first days in office to open our borders, to violate federal law, to change parole, to change all the conditions for people to come into this country. He's attracted millions of people trying to get into this country. Our southern border has been destroyed. Our northern border is being destroyed. Our cities are being destroyed. And I might add our culture. People are not assimilating into our culture. It is being destroyed from many one, e pluribus unum. Now it's the opposite, from one many. And Joe Biden has done this. He can stop it. They used this phony bipartisan bill, which had about four Republican senators supporting it, Mitch McConnell the lead, which would have enshrined every single violation of law I just told you about, every single violation of our criminal statutes, every single problem that we are facing would have been enshrined. They would have waved it around like a Neville Chamberlain type saying, see, we have a bipartisan agreement. Everybody, you're safe. Everything is fine. It's not a problem. Now you know what impeachment is really about. And now you know that Mayorkas deserved it and even more. The same article of impeachment should be issued now against Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the biggest slaver in American history by what's going on that border. And it's on his watch due to his policies. And nobody gives a damn, certainly not his media. And it's being done intentionally and purposefully. The same conditions for a high crime apply to Joe Biden.
My friends, as he was just referring to there, we had this secret negotiations in the Senate. And they came up with this bill, which they passed with some Republican support. I heard 22 Republicans voted for it. He said four of it. And that would have made this all legal, what they're doing, abrogated the other law, the law we already have on the books. But it was killed in the House. It's being held up right now. We're hanging by a thread. By a thread. The Republic is hanging by a thread, my friend. Moving on. Our next video clip is from last year's Election Crime Bureau event hosted by election integrity activist Mike Lindell and his team and broadcasted on Lindell's website, frankspeech.com. Now, this is from the State of the States presentations during that event. Every state was, they've had people come in and make, these were their allies, of course, and give information about what the elections, how they were, there was fraud and so forth. It features, this particular clip, information on allegations of massive election fraud in New York State in 2020 and 2022. The 2020 and 2022 elections. The narrator is Marley Hornick, a New York State farmer and CEO of United Sovereign Citizens. Now, I know they're going to say, oh, sovereign citizens, those are the conspiracy, crazy right-wing nuts. Well, I don't know about all that. I mean, there's some people who, I'm a sovereign citizen and you have no rights to tell me. I believe in following laws if they're reasonable and they are not achieved through fraud. But be that as it may, she's got a lot to say. She's very, very specific. She's very detail-oriented. She's eloquent. She has a great deal of information to provide. And her United Sovereign Citizens group, they're organizing an across-the-nation effort to secure U.S. elections in 2024, a daunting task indeed. You can get more information by visiting their website, Unite for Freedom. That's Unite, the number four, freedom.com. In her presentation, Hornick makes the startling claims, which she says are indisputably supported by analyzed data from New York State's official election records, that their audit of state voting records, that is this group, citizen group she runs, their audit of state voting records uncovered millions of fraudulent and illegal voter registrations and some 338,000 more votes counted in New York in the 2020 general election and later, she says, falsely certified as legitimate by election officials than there were legal voters. This, of course, won't stop the communist left's propagandists and activists from self-righteously refuting these assertions. But I say, let the American people see all the evidence, vigorously debated, and make up their own minds. If proven true, these assertions throw into question the legitimacy of the tyrant New York State Attorney General Letitia Get Trump James and many other supposedly legitimately elected state officials. And that's just in New York. Please play video clip two.
Wow, you can tell you're from New York.
I have a reason. No, because I have a reason for hope for New York and for all of America. And let me explain, okay? Our founders defined a profound national vision for all of us to be and become in our Declaration of Independence. They said, we are created beings living in a miraculous world. Each of our unique lives is equal in significance in the eyes of our Creator, and no earthly government can claim authority over us as long as we adhere to the laws we consent to be governed by. Now, they gave us a toolkit to maintain this identity, and right now, we have to be digging in this toolkit to find every peaceful remedy to defeat this adversary who clearly wants to destroy us. One of those tools is called election law. What is it we can prove right now using election law that every American can understand and agree on? So I am a homeschool mother and dairy goat farmer. After 2020, I founded New York Citizens Audit, a miraculous grassroots team of over 2,000 New Yorkers that has spent tens of thousands of hours auditing New York's voter rolls and election law. We discovered that New York's 2020 general election was certified as accurate with 338,000 more votes counted than voters who voted. 338,000 votes are completely unaccounted for. No one knows who cast them. That number should be zero. So we examined our findings next to the standard for a valid election. The law is stringent because the accuracy of our elections is what secures our government by consent. In fact, our elections are part of our critical national security infrastructure. So what is the legal standard an election must meet in order to be certified? The voter rolls must be accurate. The votes counted must be from eligible voters. The number of votes counted must equal the number of voters who voted. And for a valid federal election, there can be no more than one in 125,000 ballots in error. The law does not recognize honest mistakes when it comes to safeguarding our individual sovereignty. Elections in America are accurate or they are invalid. So when an official certifies an election, they are attesting personally and officially to the accuracy and compliance of that election. If the election has wavered from the law, they can't sign it as meeting the law. That would be an abridgment of our guaranteed civil right to choose our representatives. They must investigate first. So in August of 2021, we began auditing voter roll databases obtained directly from state and county boards of elections. We created a 2022 report demonstrating what we believe to be provable violations of election law, and we brought this report to officials across New York State in May of 2022, 6 months before the 2022 election. Today, we are announcing that we have completed our review of the 2022 election, and we are going to be submitting our conclusions to the Department of Justice, the FBI, and officials across New York State with further factual evidence of gross election procedure misconduct and inaccuracies certified as accurate. I'm going to show you what we've learned.
The big green button. The big green one. Yeah, go.
Oh. All right, we're going to dive into math and data, so roll up your sleeves. I learned all of this because I love America, and I knew that my help was needed, so you can do it too. So the first question is, are the voter rolls in New York accurate? So here are 5 million registrations we identified that are seemingly invalid or illegal. At the top, you will see counterfeit registrations. These are new registrations based on a particular voter who already has a record in the database. So now we have two or more, sometimes as many as 25 unique voters who are actually the same person. Each one of these appears to be contrary to federal and state laws. If you would like to know which laws, go to auditny.com and read our 2022 report, The Reign of Error. Next, we see purged with no purge date. If you are purged, there is no legal way to get a ballot. If a purged registration has votes in the voter history and there is no purge date, no human being alive can tell if those votes were cast before or after the purge. That's why a purge date is required by law. Every 1.5 million of these registrations is an entry point for fraud. Now, you might be wondering, it doesn't really matter if they didn't vote. But federal law disagrees with you. False registration is a serious crime with severe penalties because it leads to false votes. We identified 750,000 votes cast in New York's 2022 general election by registrations that are invalid or illegal. This is not a theory or a statistic. This is a line-by-line extraction from the New York State Board of Elections' own data. There were 250,000 votes cast by people all registered to vote on January 1st, a federal holiday. The Board of Elections says this is a default date, but an accurate registration date is material to determining your eligibility. Additionally, when they said that, they agreed, or they admitted to entering false data into a federally mandated database that is part of our critical national security infrastructure. So every single one of those votes and every official who certified them needs to be investigated now. Also, you'll see double or more votes. Meet Mrs. Z. Mrs. Z appears to have triple voted in 4 federal elections. She did this using two registration records that did not exist at the time of any of these elections. One of them was created the day after 2020 and was purged 26 days later when she moved. That record was also purged, and you will be relieved to know that New York officials are so dedicated to accuracy, they took care of that on Christmas Eve, the same day the ballot facility outside of Rochester, New York, accidentally burned to the ground. Her third registration that she did this with was created on November 12, 2020, 9 days after the election, and it has a voter history going back 25 years. So Mrs. Z is not alone. There are 1.5 million counterfeit registrations in New York's voter rolls. This requires investigation. It is a factual issue involving dilution of a New York voter's vote, a civil rights abridgment equal to disenfranchisement, according to the United States Supreme Court. These are the voter information reports for a voter with two counterfeit records. The signatures on three separate registrations with unique state identifiers are a perfect match. When we showed these to the New York State Police Special Investigations Unit, they said, "We can put whoever did this into jail." Well, no one went to jail, but more concerningly, as far as we know, it was never investigated. So let's see. The voter rolls aren't accurate. The votes counted are not from eligible voters. The number of votes doesn't equal the number of voters who voted. So we have one standard left to check. Was New York's 2022 general election valid under the law? Remember, for a federal election to be valid, there can be no more than one in 125,000 ballots in error. New York's 2022 election had 5.6 million votes counted. That means they get 48 ballots in error. Let's see how they did. Oh, it looks like they exceeded the legal limit by 750,000 votes. Now, for fun, let's check and see if the 2020 election was valid and certifiable without investigating these factual anomalies. That election was allowed 70 ballots in error. In 2020, they exceeded the error margin by nearly 1 million votes. Until we get some answers, this means that no one knows who won any of these elections, not me, not you, and not the Board of Elections, and they may never be able to prove that the people they certified to write and enforce our laws, fundamentally changing the character of our nation, were not imposters. We have sent all of this evidence to the New York State Board of Elections demanding a line-by-line reconciliation. And additionally, we sent the scientifically peer-reviewed journal article written by Dr. Andrew Paquette, PhD, the head of our research team, demonstrating the presence of steganographically concealed algorithms illegally embedded in the New York State voter roll database, allowing for the manipulation of election results even if every machine is unplugged. We have sent, we will be sending this also, like I said, to the DOJ and the FBI. Sadly, we don't think they will do anything about it, but we are. We are going to be filing litigation against every official in New York who has stood down on this investigation. But we want your attorney generals and your U.S. attorneys to file litigation also, because the citizens of your state appear to have been defrauded in a massive civil rights violation acting under color of law when these provably inaccurate, non-compliant federal elections were certified.
Thank you, Marley.
No.
Appreciate it.
I got one more. Would you like help to develop this evidence for your state? Because I have partnered with national elections expert Harry Howery, who you saw in Professor's movie, to create United Sovereign Americans, a national volunteer organization dedicated to proving and adjudicating violations of election law. Since 2020, most litigation has focused on overturning or challenging election results.
Okay, they're cutting me. They're giving me the hook over here.
They told me I had 10 minutes.
Well, they rolled the clock down, and they're giving me the hook over here.
I have to tell the people what we're doing, though. This is for all of America.
Okay, give us 20 seconds.
We are going to adjudicate civil rights violations and crimes against the elective franchise. So come and find us at uniteforfreedom.com, unite4freedom.com. We're already working with Maryland, North Carolina, Virginia, California, Illinois, Massachusetts, and Michigan, and we have trained people in Texas, Wisconsin, Florida, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Washington, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and more. We, the people, are going to save America.
Thank you, Marley.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marley.
Well, I certainly think what they're doing is commendable and very exciting from a hopeful standpoint of having free and fair, truly free and fair elections. But my problem is that we have been too reliant on compromised courts, which are too often run by compromised judges and justices, either intimidated, extorted, bribed, or they are left-wing zealots who don't give a damn about the law and always interpret it for the political left. Anyway, continuing with our discussion of our leftist-dominated establishments led by the White House, all-out efforts to destroy and imprison Donald Trump. Here's commentary by One American News Network's Pearson Sharp on recent revelations that the Central Intelligence Agency illegally spied on the Trump campaign. Listening to Sharp's comments, you can see why the corrupt, leftist-dominated CCP-supporting overall establishment with their friends on Wall Street has been doing everything it can to deplatform and destroy One American News. I pay, I believe it's $5, some more than $7, but I think it's $5 a month to watch this great freedom-loving and truth-seeking news organization streaming service, and it's well worth it. Play soundbite one, please.
It's no secret the deep state has it out for President Trump, and they have from the very beginning. But even today, almost 4 years later, we're still learning the incredible extent to which the criminals in Washington have been conspiring against the man who is still the legitimately elected president of the United States and would be sitting in the Oval Office right now if they hadn't overthrown the election. According to a new report from independent journalists Michael Schellenberger, Matt Taibbi, and Alex Gutentag, the Central Intelligence Agency was directly involved in the coup against Donald Trump's presidency before he was even elected. The report details how the former head of the CIA, the reptile John Brennan, came up with specific targets for members of the world's intelligence agencies to investigate and ultimately sabotage. With help from the CIA, the U.S. intelligence community identified 26 of President Trump's associates as potential targets to bump, which means to contact and possibly manipulate. The web of treason spread around the world, with members of the Five Eyes, the English-speaking nations of the world, the U.S., Canada, England, Australia, and New Zealand, making contact with Trump's associates all the way back in March of 2016, months before the election. This included agents working in the UK, Australia, Italy, even Mossad agents and the MI6, which allegedly set up wiretapping operations against Trump. In case it isn't clear, this report confirms the CIA was illegally colluding with foreign governments to spy on American citizens and sabotage a presidential election, which is literally exactly what they accused President Trump of doing. I mean, you can't make this up. The CIA and FBI requested foreign governments to help overthrow Trump by lying that Trump was requesting foreign governments to help overthrow Hillary Clinton. Isn't that always the way, though? They're guilty of exactly what they accuse you of doing. In a way, it's helpful because whenever they accuse someone of something, that tells you what they're really up to. Of course, warrantless surveillance of American citizens is illegal. But we already know that's precisely what was happening, and members of Obama's regime were responsible for carrying out these illegal operations. A former lawyer for the FBI, Kevin Kline Smith, was given a slap on the wrist and probation for actually admitting that he falsified information to obtain an illegal wiretap on Trump's campaign advisor, Carter Page. This is all established fact now. But you may recall that when we reported it at the time, we were called conspiracy theorists. Now, of course, we know from Special Counsel John Durham's report that the entire Russian collusion assault on President Trump was fabricated from top to bottom by the Obama DOJ and FBI and CIA. And in reality, there was never any evidence of wrongdoing by President Trump at all. And every one of the intelligence agencies knew it. Robert Mueller knew it. And they carried on the charade for over 2 years anyway. Also, they could politically assassinate the legitimately elected president of the United States. Mueller's own report found that neither Donald Trump nor anyone in Trump's campaign had anything to do with the Russian government or a conspiracy to overturn the 2016 election. Have any of them or the malicious media ever apologized for what they did to the President of the United States? The new investigative report, citing members of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, states that, quote, if the top secret documents exist proving these charges, they are potentially proof that multiple U.S. intelligence officials broke laws against spying and election interference. This isn't just a criminal hoax. It's literally treason. And with any luck, there's going to be a reckoning before long. The House Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, led by Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, is already investigating the CIA's involvement in interfering with the 2016 election. But it's worse than that, because this goes all the way to the top. The head honcho himself, Barack Hussein Obama. Because what all this reveals is that once again, it wasn't President Trump who was engaged in insurrection. It was Barack Obama. Obama, not Trump, knowingly conspired with members of the Injustice Department to sabotage Donald Trump's presidency. Obama gathered a top-level team for a meeting on January 5th, 2017, just 15 days before Trump took office, with the sole purpose of finding a way to undermine his presidency. The next day, Obama's CIA released a declassified document suggesting that Russia influenced the 2016 election to help Trump get elected. A document that Obama and everyone else involved knew was fake. This is the icing on the cake, the cherry on top, the piece de resistance. Of course, it was no time at all before someone in that meeting accidentally leaked this falsified information to the press, which was their goal from the start. Nothing they said had to be true. The public just had to suspect that it was, because it was coming from supposedly trustworthy sources in the highest levels of government. This is what insurrection looks like. Donald Trump has been innocent the whole time, and our corrupt communist government is persecuting him for crimes they committed. From One America News, I'm Pearson Sharp.
I wanted to play another One America News segment about the massive financial assistance being heaped upon illegal immigrants to travel to and stay in the USA, but we don't have time. Suffice it to say that non-governmental organizations, NGOs, are flush with, many of them at least, with U.S. taxpayer money, this as I understand it, to support the transport of so-called migrant and new arrival illegal aliens, hordes, to the U.S. borders, and then generously pay for their living expenses once here. Both these NGOs and the U.S. government, and our local, state, and federal governments altogether. This is yet another outrage under the lawless Biden regime, but one you are probably not surprised at by now. Well, that's all for another show. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can listen to and watch video from a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com. Look for us again with another live broadcast in this same time slot 2 weeks from today. Have a great rest of your day and evening.